Out here, though, it's time for the prank to unfold. And look at the crew.
Yeah, they're all here. So for those who are not aware, I was pranked over the last couple of days and thinking that Dirk Nowitzki hated my guts.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started, innocuously enough, on the radio when we had Dirk on and we were talking about the premiere of Dirk's movie, which Mike and I were invited to. And so Dirk is telling the story about what the movie is basically about, and he's kind of touting it as saying it's a shorter movie. And then I took that and said this. Oh.
We got it.
Okay.
Live a normal life and not in front of the camera. So it's, I think we found a nice little middle ground, but my first reaction was definitely I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I don't want. We had a chance to see it a few months ago, and it's really cool. If you've lived here for a while and have followed your career, it's eye opening in a lot of ways, and it's a fun. Like you said, it's a fun. It's short. It's an hour and a half long. It's not like you're going to spend watching Schindler's List or something like that. But,
no,
it's short, and you can get out of there.
No.
You know, that, I never even went back and listened to it.
You probably should have.
He laughed.
Yeah,
he laughed.
He clearly
he
heard it.
Yeah.
But you don't know if it's a comfortable laugh or it's just kind of
my favorite comedy.
All right, so joining us now, based on all that, just that one clip right there, joining us now is Jake Kemp. Hello, Jacob.
Hardline.
Brian Damaris, the architect of this, and you've heard Brian's work on the post-game show and probably heard us reference him about 75 million times on the air as well. And Mike Soroy.
Hi, thanks.
Whoa.
Snake Wolf.
There he is.
Thanks for not calling me that awful name.
Yeah, look at me.
Doesn't he look great for a dead guy?
I wear size 34 jeans. That's not a cow, Mike. Tell them. I know you kind of have my back, but I just...
Yes, I do.
I appreciate that.
Cow.
I've been working on this.
I mean, it's him, not me.
It's him. So I issue the Schindler's List line. And, again, think nothing of it to the point of where I'm listening to Dirk answer the question or comment that I made, and Danny's looking at me with this deer in the headlights look. And I see there's activity, eye contact between Mike and Danny. And I kind of look at Danny. I'm like, what are you doing? And in my ear he goes, really? Schindler's List? You couldn't come up with a better one for Dirk? And I go, oh yeah. Well, that all right. But then, I'm kind of like, whatever. And I move on.
It seemed no big deal. I mean, it made me perk up too, but there was no reaction whatsoever from him other than that little chuckle.
That was in the first segment. He called back.
Yeah. We let him go during the break, and he was able to, I don't know, do whatever he needed to do for 4, 5, 6 minutes. And he called back like he said he would.
He called us back.
Yes. And we had him on for a whole nother segment, and there was no change whatsoever in his demeanor that I could tell.
Now, so I texted Danny immediately, and I was like, Schindler's List, ? Exclamation point. And then, like, 10 seconds later, I was like, this would be a great prank. And Danny's like, roll with it. So I'm thinking, so I waited till the end of the interview, and I texted Dirk. I'm thinking, there's no way he's probably going to be like, dude, I don't have time. I'm not going to, whatever.
Right.
And he just goes, ha, done, okay. What's his Twitter handle? I said, direct message him because he doesn't have your number. He's not gonna, if he texts
right.
you, you know he's going to get your number from somewhere
sure.
or whatever. So I tell him, listen, I wanted him to kind of set it up with, listen, I did the interview because I wanted to promote the game and
the movie
anyway. That's the only reason I went through with this. But he didn't include that. He didn't really sell that part.
No.
But I said, just say that was effed up and,
But that's all you said?
And I did tell him, don't come tomorrow.
That's the greatest line ever. Don't come tomorrow. And that's just how it ended.
So the interview ended. The interview ended at about 5:50, and so at 6 o'clock, we have on Lee Trevino, and it was a big show. I'm not going
to
lie, I was very excited about having.
And you were feeling good. You were feeling good because the interview went well.
Yeah, I was feeling good, and we have Lee on, and we're talking about Spieth, and everything's cool. Well.
And ironically, Trevino's the one that we had the other issue with.
Exactly. And so direct message just pops up. Like if you have Twitter up in one of your windows, mm-hmm. a direct message will pop up anywhere. And I see a direct message, and it's from
from Swish 41.
Awesome.
He's like, great questions, man. You killed it.
Yes.
Me. Yeah. You were, interview. Do you want to be best friends?
who hadn't followed you, yeah. And you would never messaged with
Let's
him.
Hang no, out so follow me. And I read this in the middle of a Lee Trevino answer, okay? Bro, you brought up Schindler's List in my interview. That's effed up, man, with effed up spelled all the way out. That's effed up, man. I can't believe you did that. Don't come tomorrow.
Oh, don't come tomorrow.
That is beautiful.
Don't come to my birthday.
Don't come.
Like, he would care the reason, or ever know you were there.
The reason that this was punch. The reason this was so successful is because everybody adhered to the less is more theory. And it was a lot. It wasn't an exercise in verbosity. It was people just throwing it out there and then disappearing.
Right.
And letting you twist.
So he texts me immediately. He's like, okay, I sent it. Haven't heard anything back. And Danny's telling me that you're freaking out.
Freaking.
You don't know what to do.
Because I don't know. I show it to Mike first. And I go, dude.
Yeah.
Is this real?
He turned to me and his face was already starting to turn white. And he just sort of very limply handed the phone to me and said, is this real? And I read it and just thought, whoa.
Now, to Corby's credit, he immediately said, this can't be real. This has to be a prank. And he's like, Dirk came back and did the second interview with us, and he kind of even laughed when I said that. My defending this to try my part in helping prop this bit up was to harp on the fact that this was Twitter-based, that it was more about the listeners going on Twitter and going to Dirk's page and going, dude, I can't believe Corby just said that.
Which, yeah. If you look at your name, some of that did was coming
A lot
up.
Of it was.
It could have very easily crashed right
like,
there.
Like, I can't believe Corby just did that to you with the Schindler's List comment. Uncool. Can't believe it. And that's where I kept trying to push that button and say, this is all about Twitter. Dirk's probably wasn't mad during the interview, but once he saw what the perception was amongst everybody else, that's when he took it personally.
And I'm sitting there looking at it, not knowing when or whether or not to answer it, because I'm trying to figure out if it's a prank. And I immediately say to Danny, I go, dude, Damaris, this is Damaris. Damaris is behind this.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And I go, there's no way Dirk really feels this way. It's Damaris.
But you can't just not answer.
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
You
You're
can't
right.
assume that Dirk Nowitzki is just playing with you.
I know. And so,
like, if you went, ha, 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 good one, he's like, no, I'm serious.
Part of me wanted to DM him back and say, good try, F off.
and he would have said, ha, ha, and you would have
Yeah, and I would have been out of it.
I know, right? I know.
So I told him, I said, when you get back, do not reply back and unfollow him.
And what happened was, right about then, when I'm thinking this is a prank, the hotline rings.
Oh, so I text Cuban, who's on set at Shark Tank.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play the audio from Corby's first reaction.
Okay.
When I went into the control room.
There you go.
Do you have this, Jake?
Yeah.
Okay, when I went into the control room, and this was, I guess it's a small clip of Corby's first reaction.
Oh, but he didn't follow you already?
Uh-uh.
I thought I figured you guys followed each other.
Nope.
That would make me very nervous.
Only me! Seriously. Surely he's joking. Damn it. Look.
What is this?
It's from Dirk.
All right, pause this. So right about now, I have Mino read it. Because I just want everybody to see what I'm going through here.
Right.
Well, they both know that it's a prank already. Mm-hmm. And Mino was as nervous as I've ever seen a human being.
Like, doing a bra clasp, his hands
yes,
shaking.
Yes, he's shaking
with the phone.
As he's reading it. And he's like trying to read it out loud, kind of. And
I had this mic on. This was the one that we were recording on in here.
Okay.
And you can see the levels when I'm talking close, but you guys were far enough away that you couldn't see it.
Yeah, that's
another
thing. So
when I was talking, I saw something go up, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, keep in mind that
I can't say anything. So I just, like, went quiet right then and there.
Keep in mind, this looks bad. On the fly, we're trying to figure out how to record this but not use our phones, because that's my thing now. If I feel like I'm being pranked, I immediately confiscate all cell phones and see if I'm being recorded.
Oh, yeah. That's what we all do. Just immediately look in anyone's hand, right. Yeah. In their top pocket, right? Like, I'm just frisking you.
If they have it, like, duct taped to their chest.
Yes.
Right. You're getting an ocular pat down.
That's why we were nervous, because there's a VU meter, you know, going off every time we say something in here.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't think you would.
All right. I didn't at all.
DM from Dirk.
Well, you got to say something to him. I mean, you can't just let that hang. If he is, number one, if he is serious, you got to apologize.
Yeah.
If it's a bit, you can't just go, hey, f*** you, ha ha. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, German.
Yeah.
God. Listen.
Surprised you didn't ask Lee Trevino about the Alamo.
So at this point, Damaris is sending us screenshots.
Yes.
So I loop in these two knuckleheads.
He's calling Roy and Jake.
Because I need somebody on the inside who can get, you know, put together cat audio, all that. And I want Jake for the revenge factor and Mike because he's up for just kneeling anyway.
I'm pure evil. Yeah, you are.
Mike's happy to be alive.
Yeah, right. On that day,
So the next play was we needed Cuban to help sell it. So I cyberdust Cuban, who's literally sitting on the set of Shark Tank. And I say, Dirk, we're pranking Corby. Dirk's in. I send him those screenshots. He's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, give me Corby's number. I'm like, well, I can't give you his number because how is he going to get your number? So I tell Danny, I said, have someone call the hotline, act like Mark's calling, asking for the number. And
so I did, and I called. And for whatever reason, whenever Danny answered, I'm like, hey, this is Mark Cuban. you don't have to do that.
Oh, hello.
You don't have to do that, Jake.
Hi,
Jake.
I just need him to see me on the phone. And then he texts you. Then we get this audio from right after the show.
Yeah, I go in there and tell Corby immediately. I go, dude, that was Mark Cuban, and he was asking me for your phone number.
So listen to this. So you called. I see the hotline ring.
Mm-hmm.
And the hotline flashes numbers. I see it's an 817 number.
Man, I thought about that.
And still
I saw it. And Danny runs in there, and I'm not thinking about anybody. I didn't know what was going on. And Danny comes in, and he's like, dude, Cuban's looking for your phone number. I go, Cuban's got my phone number. I've had text wars with that son of a bitch about 50 times.
But, you know, you never know, right?
Exactly.
He's on his third
phone. But, again, I should be thinking that this is
fog
a
fog of war.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
The fog of war.
So you texted him first.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
preemptively.
I launch a preemptive strike, and I go, hey, dude.
Are you looking for me?
I go, are you looking for me? I'll call you after the show.
This is the best.
And his response is to that at 6:39 during the show is, what the F did you say to Dirk? That Dirk had already sought him out, the owner.
He's calling everyone.
Yeah.
He's so mad. He goes to Cuban.
Like, what would cause him to call Mark?
Mark
believe Cuban.
This?
Knowing that Mark's on set all day.
Listen to what Corby said.
And so this is what happens. What the F did you say to Dirk? And I go, I'm going to call you after the show. He says, I'm shooting Shark Tank. Call Dirty. Dirk. And I go, I don't have Dirty's number, Cubes. And so I say, but what was said was so unintentional, I didn't even know I did it. He mentioned his movie being short, and I said, yeah, you'll dig it. It's a really good movie. And like you said, it's not like a Schindler's List where you'll be there in forever. I didn't think twice about it. And then I looked up at Danny, and he said in my ear, Schindler's List? And then it hit me then. But gee damn it, man, you know me and how I feel about Dirk. I would never do something intentional to piss him off, ever. And then he sent me a DM and is pissed, and now I'm effing sick to my stomach.
So Cuban gets
his response,
me and Dirk.
Well, his
the longest text you've ever sent.
His
by the
response
way.
Is, I'm shooting Shark Tank. Call Damaris. See if he can help.
Okay. I didn't know that part. So
that's awesome.
Cuban sends me and Dirk a text, just says, Corby's response, LOL, and sends me the whole thing.
Which then we got.
And yes. He is so happy. So I send it to these two clowns.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, is all of this correspondence is being shared by the assassins.
Hell yeah.
And there's a common thread in all of them, and it all has to do with Corby having a sick stomach.
Yeah, it was, man.
All right, let's listen to this, though. This is right after the show when Sean Bass decides he's got jokes.
Oh, does he know it's a prank?
No, he had no
he
idea.
Doesn't
he
know.
Was just making Schindler's List jokes, and it doesn't go over real well.
So, did I hear right? You issued a Schindler's List?
Don't.
Already right there, Corby.
Don't.
Don't.
Don't. Like maybe Deer Hunter or Dances of Wolves?
Just don't.
Waterworld. These are not good times.
Waterworld.
Not now.
Yeah.
These are not good times.
He goes,
Do you know Mike at this point?
No, Mike does not.
No, I do.
Dude,
he's sticking up for
I don't
his
even
partner.
Remember how.
I didn't know, but I suspected.
He
but,
did.
But I didn't know. But
he
I didn't
suspected
know.
More than me the whole time.
Just don't.
Water
these
world. Are not good times.
Water world.
Dances with wolves and water.
Yeah.
These are not good times.
They worked. By this point, I'm freaking out.
Well, Corby, by this point, I
I'll
can't
you,
wipe
I,
the grin
I,
off my
I,
face.
I have never seen him like this.
He had tears in his eyes.
And I'm waiting for
Ty was there.
I'm waiting for your call. So I'm like, I don't have – I'm not in radio. I don't know how to record stuff. So I Google how to record on an iPhone. and find this free app that gives you like 20 minutes for free.
Is this what we did to record Norm that time?
I have a different one. Yeah, I have some app that I got, but yeah, same idea.
And about that time, I get a call from you, and I let it go to voice. You don't leave a voicemail, and I just get a text that says, call me, period, soon, period.
Yeah. All right, leave it at that. Let's take a break. Let's come back. I'll play the – or we'll play the audio of me calling Damaris in a full-on panic.
Okay.
Here we go. We're having fun.
Yeah, there you go. Hello, Larry.
Now we're having fun.
There we go.
Damn. Screw it. Now, what are you doing?
Don't worry about it. Let's get back into this thing here. It's a very chaotic scene out here.
Good Lord.
Ugh. All right. Yeah, let's quickly reset. Dirk sends me a direct message telling me to basically F off and to not show up at his movie premiere. And I'm freaking out. I'm a little hesitant to believe it. But then Mark Cuban gets involved, and he sends me a text. What the F did you say to Dirk? I respond to him in this long, long text of, please, Jesus, help me. And at this point, at the end of the show, I am resigned to the fact that I have just pissed off my sports hero and my favorite local team, my favorite team, period. And
to us that knew, your 6 o'clock hour, you sounded so down.
I was beaten. I was absolutely beaten. And so we played the audio at the end of the show when Mike was telling Sean Bass, as Sean's making fun of me for referencing Schindler's List to Dirk.
And mentioning other long movies
that you should have used.
Right. I'm like, as Mike was telling him, just shut up, man. Just let it go.
Who's not in on it yet.
No. Mm-hmm. So I call Damaris. Brian Damaris, who is Dirk's good buddy, who I thought from the outset was behind this prank.
But if there was a prank, it would have to basically be him, right?
Yes. And so my phone call was twofold, was to feel him out, because look, if anybody is on prank alert at all times,
especially
it's
me. A week after.
Dude, I have pranked every human being at this radio station, and yes, I am on high alert.
I was definitely worried that it had just happened too fast, that we're only a week removed.
Agree, but that's maybe the best part,
it's
maybe.
Because like we're zigging whenever he thought the zag.
Yep.
But
I was worried
time,
that we were a little too ambitious.
I had disassociated myself from all of that, and I wasn't thinking of recent pranks or anything. I was just thinking of someone maybe pranking me, and that's really it. So Damaris, as I told Danny right out of the shoot, I think he's behind this. But
this is the pivotal phone call, though, because you're judging what he's saying and his demeanor.
And I'm really nervous.
And he knows this call's coming, and has to answer
it. I tested the app on my home phone. I made sure it recorded. And I waited about 15 minutes, and I call you back.
All right, so here is the phone call.
Well, I just will say, we're not going to have Corby explain what happened every time everyone.
Yeah, good.
These are like 10-minute phone calls we have down to a minute. This starts whenever he thinks Cuban called the hotline. It was just me pretending that I was calling to get Corby's number.
Then Cuban called the hotline. This was like an hour after the fact, and he's shooting Shark Tank right now and is like, what the f*** did Corby say to Dirk? And sent me a note, a text, and I just sent him a text back, like, I'll call you in a minute, and he's like, I'm doing Shark Tank, and so I sent him, like, a whole text of what exactly transpired, and I'm like, you know, come on, man, you know me, I would never do anything that stupid intentionally, and he's like, call Damaris. I'm like, I already tried.
Oh, jeez.
yeah.
See, the sound you hear right here, you're going to hear a lot of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because he had that thing with Dan and, like, Dan bringing up the Nazis, and I think he was so, like, that threw him for a loop.
All right. Now,
the Ava Braun jokes have just got him in a...
Dan, I've heard most of these interviews that Bad Radio have done with with Dirk, and I don't remember... I know there was something that went on that was kind of weird that Dan mentioned
many
Nazis
years ago. He like brought up like, "Hey, did they teach that in school or something stupid like that?" Right?
Yeah. Okay. And then when I went out to talk to him for the Dirk 15 for 15, he did bring up, you know, Dan, Bob, serious guy. Dan, of course, wants to bring up Hitler.
And Dan did it, and so Dirk tells me like, you know, we're just talking about the ticket because you know he doesn't listen and he doesn't really understand.
Sure.
And he's like, "Yeah, Dan, you know that bozo brought up the Nazis and all this stuff." And so that's kind of out there.
And to be honest, it really helped your cause.
Well, we had talked about it. That's what I said. I was like, dude, just hammer home that we're already on thin ice with,
you know,
he
had
Nazi
that thing
stuff.
With Dan and like Dan bringing up the Nazis, and I think he's already, he was so like that threw him for a loop. And so I think this is just like, really, you guys, the ticket again?
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, I just, that's the first long movie that popped into my head. It never, I mean, God,
I get it.
You don't have to qualify yourself to Damaris.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
I mean, God,
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and here's my goal of this call is
to get off of it.
Well, you told I travel a lot for work. And I wanted you, the first thing you said is, where are you? And I said, I'm in L.A. You were like, oh, we did the Dirk interview. Oh, great. You know,
yeah,
cool.
You acted like you didn't hear it.
Didn't even know you scheduled him.
Right.
And I said, I'm in L.A. because if you thought I was in town or whatever, the gig is up. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I heard the whole thing, you know, shopping at Walgreens on Lemon, right? So,
that, like I said, this is like a 20-minute phone call. We have like a minute and a half more here. And this, to me, this is the – Damaris has the best line of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
In this
I was
clip.
Like, I go, I am so – so sorry, you know. I'm like, that is the most unintentional. Would never do that, you know. I was talking about how much I respect him, you know, the dude and all that. And I'm like, I would never, ever, ever do that.
Did he say anything? That?
No. I sent something back in the last 15 or 20 minutes.
Can you pause it there? Because we haven't got to the response that I did send to Dirk. I never read that. Well, I haven't read that yet. So eventually when I'm convinced that this is for real, this is what I sent to Dirk. I haven't read this yet, have I?
No.
Okay. This is what I sent to Dirk after he told me to F off and don't come tomorrow to his movie. Holy S, man. I am so, so sorry. Trust me. All I was trying to think of was a long movie. That's it. I would never, in all caps, effing do that on purpose. I'm really sorry, dude. I got way too much respect for you to intentionally pull S like that, or on anyone for that matter. Not me at all. Like I said, would never do that. Now I'm totally freaked out, and I feel sick to my stomach.
There it is. Now, he sends that to me immediately. He's like, what should I do? Should I just unfollow him? I said, yes.
Yeah, and then he unfollows me, and I'm like, he can't even read what I responded to because he unfollowed
but
me.
He did
ghosted
it.
You.
He did get it.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah. So that's where it sits. And I feel like a dirt bag. Like, and I feel like, I feel like I,
sure, like, come on, man, that's,
I
well,
know.
I'll drop him a text, and, you know, he's got the movie, he's got the, you know, the draft, he's got
the draft.
Stress.
Like, Dirk is just really over here slaving around. What are we going to do with 21?
I'm in Donnie.
How's this going to impact the last couple years of me having a seven seed?
At this point, I've convinced you that I'm not around. I want to get off the phone.
Like, dude, don't talk to Dirk on draft week.
He's watching video.
Do not bring up the draft around Dirk.
In the interview, we brought up the draft and asked him how involved in that he was. He's,
I don't know.
Not very.
Yeah.
It's happening. I'm so worried
all
about
I know
the draft.
Is it's happening. Now, here he is saying he's got Murray's, the draft.
You know.
The guy from Murray State really doesn't go to his left.
He's more worried about the Women's World Cup than he is the NBA draft. Look, he's got this movie, What With the Draft and All.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest horse's ass in the world. I'm not kidding, man. I feel awful. And, like, unintentional awful. Like, seriously, like, it's one thing to feel awful when you've done something that, you know, you're like, oh, my God, why did I do that? Well, this is just, like, a stupid moment in time that I just, whatever, didn't even think. Did not even think twice. So.
We always wind up at,
Neat.
All right, well, I'll drop him a text. I'll let you know if I hear anything.
Yeah. Let me know. Just whatever. God. Whatever you can do, I appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
That is the best I've ever heard. Listen, here we go.
Yeah. Let me know. Just whatever. Whatever you can do, I appreciate it.
Oh, Cambridge.
Oh, buddy.
So sad.
Poor Cambridge.
Yeah.
Okay, so at that point, are you like, did that confirm for you that this is legit?
Ben, because he told me he was in L.A., all right? Yeah. And so I'm still thinking, but what I'm doing is I'm hoping this is a prank, all right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And so I know
that Damaris and your brother, Cash, work for the same group. And I immediately call Cash. And I go, Cash, who's sitting right here. I go, Cash, I need hand him the headset. And I tell Cash, I go, I need to know, is Damaris in L.A. or not?
And the beauty of this is Cash had no clue.
I have no idea any of this has happened.
Because he's actually was out of town.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I need to know. Because I think I'm being pranked, but I'm not sure. And I just need to know where he is.
And did he say it sounds like a prank?
Well, yeah, he goes, man, knowing Damaris, it sounds pretty fishy. And I know he was in L.A., but I'm not sure how much time that he actually spent out there.
But you were not here yourself.
I actually said all the right things without having any idea.
That's amazing.
And he goes, I'll fish it out, and if I feel it's a prank, I'll let you know.
Oh, you're right.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
No, but at that point, you have a confidant. Like, you are, like, if you call me, I'd be like, I don't know anything about it. Let me see what I can find out. Which actually isn't bad, because you don't want everybody kind of
I kind of like that he basically was like, hey, it might be a prank.
Yeah.
And he's clearly right on the inside, so you know, him not knowing.
My alarm went way off. I was certain it was a prank right off the bat.
As it was.
So I get a call from Cash saying, hey, give me a call. I need to ask you something. And he calls me, and he's like, hey, are you pranking Corby? And I say, he is in hook, line, and sinker.
And that's when Cash became a
double agent.
Yeah.
Because then you had to call him.
An accomplice.
Because then I couldn't pretend. I couldn't not talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Now I was like, I've got to come up with something. And so I started writing fake texts, showing them to Damaris and saying, would you type this to me? Because I want to show it to Corby as if you had written it
to
me.
And I'm editing them.
And he's like, nah, say it more like this.
Out of control. And so
he confirms that I'm in L.A.
And yes, he does. He does. He says you're in L.A. And so I'm like, all right. And so I go home. I explain all this to my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who goes, Corby, it's a prank. You're being pranked. I'm like, no, 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 no. I mean, my wife, who knows nothing, is like, he's pranking you. You're being pranked by someone.
What did you keep coming back to that, like on the inside, that told you it wasn't a prank? Because Cash's first reaction, your wife's, the fact that it is.
I didn't think Cuban would get involved.
Is that really what the stopping point was?
I did not think Cuban would get involved.
Had it just been Dirk or just Cuban, I think you would have been like,
it's so hard to tell Dirk.
And within an hour, right?
Hey, you're screwing with me.
Right. And so I just kind of believed it. And so then I called Jake. And then I'm texting Saroy.
The mistake you made is you didn't call Sarah, who you booked the interview with.
Yeah, Sarah Melton, who runs
Maverick PR.
Because
I called Sarah about 8:30, and I was panicking because I thought for sure you'd go to her.
Because I always do. I say, thank you, sweetie, for the interview.
And she's like, I'm so glad you called me. This is hilarious. I was about to text him and say, what a great interview. And that would have been the end.
Right. She was ready to go. But I didn't want to do it because I thought that the Mavs were ganging up against me, and I didn't want to deal with it.
So by 8:30, she's looped in.
Yeah, and then all the texts stop. People stop texting
me.
And I'm, like, in the dark completely until I wake up the next morning. Meanwhile, I wake up at 4 a.m.
Now, you called Jake.
Yes.
You called Jake.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're
Kat.
Calling everybody.
Yeah,
you
call
want
30 Jake.
Seconds of Kat?
Yeah, I want to hear Kat.
And I'm like, look, it is the biggest misunderstanding. Nothing. I just don't. You know, nothing. And I go, I feel sick right now because he's mad at me. It's like Roger Staubach calling me and telling me that he hates me or something. And I sent Dirk a long message back on Twitter.
Yeah, he just kind of recaps it, but I like that. That, like as Soroy's highlighted, really the main thing you were worried about. It's not like you were losing your job.
Yeah.
You weren't ill. Your kids weren't in danger.
Yeah.
It's just, but Dirk is really mad at me.
Right.
Which
yes!
I get. I've thought about it. That would crush me.
Yes.
But if you really think about it, it's not that
big. It's kind of nothing.
It's kind of
not like your friends before that. You didn't have each other's number.
Well, no, but I mean,
I was happy to find out.
And once again, we're reminded that Corby is, in fact, sick at his stomach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am.
Every single person.
But I think with every one of these conversations, he's just practicing what he would say to Dirk if he ever gets this opportunity.
All right, now, how in is Kat on it at this point?
Totally in.
We told him right from the jump.
Did we both talk to Kat the night before on the phone?
Yeah, this is going to come to you.
We almost had Dan Bennett looped in.
The one thing we
we're
going
to have him come
is,
talk to you.
We've affected you personally, but we haven't affected the station yet.
Right.
Let's do that next.
All right, let's take a break because when I wake up and after I'm up for 4 hours at 4 a.m. going, he hates me, I wake up to find an email from the Mavericks in my inbox.
Yeah.
All right.
So downtrodden. Love it.
Yeah.
We got a little bit more to go here before we give way to Norm. and Mark Folliwell as they cover the draft without coming to laugh, if you can imagine that. It's going to be happening here tonight at the Addison Ice House.
Tis.
Let's pick up here.
Brian Damaris, Jake Kemp, Mike Cerulli join us for the end of what was, I want to say, one of the greatest pranks ever pulled, and it happened to be on me as I thought that Dirk Nowitzki hated my guts. And so we left off with, I'm going to bed that night thinking that this is real, that Dirk hates me, that Cuban is pissed off at me, that my sports hero completely has abandoned my life forever. And how am I going to explain this to my kids, who is that's their favorite player? And
Jay Crowder's gone.
Yeah, Crowder's out of the picture now, so now it's
what
all
are we going to do?
And your wife's mad at you.
I'm still bouncing back from that.
My wife is totally pissed at me because she was going to go to Dirk's movie, the premiere, which was last night.
She had her dress laid out and everything.
Oh,
sitter.
Yeah. Right.
Sitter scheduled.
Everything. And I had to tell her everything. Well, she's telling me that it's a prank, but it's not a prank in my mind. And so I wake up the next morning after 0 hours of sleep because I'm so affected by it all.
And we needed something to kind of bring the station in and just kind of
just raise the stakes.
Right. Put a bow on it.
So I wake up the next morning. I take my kids to camp, and it's right at 10 o'clock, and I tell Craig, I go, you need to call me ASAP. Craig Miller. And Craig, who was, you know, Craig's a really good friend of mine, and I just want to pick his brain. And so Craig calls me back. And Craig doesn't know a damn thing, nothing. And so I go, did Kat tell you what's been going on? He goes, no. And so I explain the whole story to him, and he goes, well, I don't understand why he's so mad. And I'm like, I know. He called us back after that. I mean, the interview went well. He was laughing. We were having a good time. I thought everything was cool. And Craig goes, man, this makes no sense. He goes, it's not like that you asked him, hey, man, who taught you that one-legged fadeaway, Hitler?
Wow, okay.
I think that would have done it.
right. And I'm dying laughing. He's like, you didn't ask him that. I go, yeah, I know. I don't get where this angst is coming from. And so I go, and I actually get on a bike for like 45 minutes. I come back. I look at my phone, and I see on my email, the first thing I see is an email from our boss, Jeff Catlin, that says, do not respond to Sarah Melton's email. I already have. And I'm like, Sarah Melton. Sarah Melton is
Sarah Melton.
Sarah, who's been a friend of mine for 20 years and runs PR for the Mavericks, has sent an email. And I immediately go find the email. And at this point, when I read the email, I'm like, this is it. Now it is real.
And this is the great handiwork of Mike Cerulli.
I wrote the email, and I sent it to her last night. And I'm like, hey, tomorrow morning, do you mind sending the following to Jeff Catlin and Corby? Jeff Corby. Dirk mentioned to me that he wasn't happy with some of the things that came up during the interview yesterday on the ticket. While listening, I thought the interview sounded okay, but Dirk said to me later, quote, Corby is a bit inappropriate and he thinks he's hilarious all the time. I'm sure this will smooth over in a few days, but I've been told to let you know that the Mavs won't be participating in the Tickets NBA draft coverage on Thursday in any way. This includes previously scheduled interviews with Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle. Sorry, but this is all I've got.
Wow.
To which I can't respond because my boss is like, do not respond. I have this covered. And his response was essentially this milquetoast, Sarah, I completely understand what's going on here. Corby thought it was just an innocent moment, but I understand the severity of it. And then the fact that you said an on-air apology, or that she said an on-air apology.
Yeah, I didn't know if you want to get into that, because the last between us, I think an on-air apology might be a good call, but that's up to you guys. Because what we really wanted was you at 5:10 yesterday to come on the air.
Can I call for the ball here for a moment?
Go.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Kobe just calls for it. He's like, I got to clear something up for
and
yesterday.
And we even told Danny to schedule a Maverick segment, because that'll be an appropriate time for Corby at the top of
Monte
that segment to do an on-air apology, which made us all so happy. And then the three of us were going to just stroll into the studio.
Like, hey,
what are you guys talking about, Hardline?
My idea earlier as we were lobbing back and forth, I was like, what if he has to apologize to, like, the Jewish community of Dallas or something? Like, we had all these crazy
ideas. We were bringing
in
the Jewish Community Center's executive director to possibly send an email.
So he apologizes on the air.
Well,
the draft coverage is screwed at this point.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, I tell Sarah, who's the sweetest person alive.
She is.
Do not get on the phone with Corby because she would break.
Yeah.
I despite say, that he's calling you
send
every 90 seconds.
Send him a quick reply that says, I'm swamped with the draft and with the screening, with media requests. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, I'm texting her because I told Jeff, I go, I'm calling Sarah. I don't give a damn what you said on email. Okay. I'm calling
That's
her.
My friend.
Yes. And so I text her. I'm like, can I call you? She goes, absolutely. I'm dealing with draft stuff right now. I call her. No answer. Call again. No answer. Call again. No
and between all those calls, she's texting me going, what should I do? I'm like, just hold out. It's all over in like 2 hours.
She's like, I'm so
Don't
sorry.
Don't answer that phone.
I'm so sorry. I'm with Coach. I'm like,
she's
all right.
She's making crap up.
Yeah, I go, I'll tell you what. I'll call you right before the show. 2:30. Call. Call you again, Sarah. What's going on? I'm so sorry. I'm dealing with a movie now. I can't talk to you. And I go, you know what? I go, Sarah, I'll talk to you in the morning, which would have been after the movie and all that, you know. And so I am just.
So you're, at this point, you're not going to the movie.
No, yeah, I'm not going to the movie.
And
the movie? No, I'm going to show up and Dirk's going to punch me in the face.
So your wife ends up sending me a message on Facebook because, like you said, the movie attending the movie is completely up in the air, most likely not even going to happen. So this is when Mrs. Davidson gets involved.
Hi, by the way, Danny.
Yeah.
The entire time,
I know.
Even through Sarah, was this is a prank. You're being pranked.
Props. Yes. Julie had this sniffed out from the beginning. And let me give Corby credit, too. At no point was he ever going to go on the air and do a live on-air apology.
That's true, because when she requested the apology, I told Danny and Mike, I told you this, too. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I did nothing wrong. It was an innocent mistake. I will not publicly apologize. Jeff came in and requested it. And I'm like, no, not happening, man. All right, go ahead, Danny.
Here's a letter from Julie. Hi, Danny. Okay, this Dirk stuff has Corby twisted upside down.
Yeah.
Is it really not a prank? I seriously cannot believe that Dirk would take it this far at all. Clearly, it was in reference to the length of the film and no comparison whatsoever. If it is a prank, let him off the hook soon, please. I have a babysitter. We're going to see the movie tonight. Should I cancel it? If not, I will not tell him if it is a prank. Just LMK, let me know. And if it isn't a prank, well, I for sure thought Dirk was cooler than that.
And would
accept his apology and let it go.
And what she would do if she was Dirk. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I let her twist for about 3.5 hours before I reply and just say, I'm trying to find more info right now and get to the bottom of this. I'll write you back shortly.
These damn Mavericks, man. And now the station's affected. They pull Donnie. They pull Rick. And, like, when I'm trying to call Sarah, I go, Sarah, this is so out of control.
Yeah, you want to hear
we have a little more audio.
Donnie and Norm.
Planting seeds.
Or no, follow
up. Because we knew you'd be listening,
and
so
I
this
was.
Is just randomly thrown
And he's
in
here right now on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. Here's Mark Followell. Morning.
Good morning, Norm. Looking forward to the draft tomorrow night. Looking forward to hopefully being at a little bit better place today than some other Mavs employees have been on the air recently on the tickets. So,
well, we'll just put that one aside as being sort of an internal matter.
Oh. Even Norm did it.
So I am that's when I'm working out, and I'm like, I'm listening going, oh, my God. Does he mean me?
Yeah.
Dan calls for the audio.
Damn. You burned me.
Yeah. I'm the best. So, do we have time to play the Dirk thing?
What? I think yesterday?
Yeah, let's. Yeah. We can't. We don't have.
Dan.
Let's go to break.
Yeah.
What?
Let's just break.
This weekend, when you're off doing
Dude,
stuff around
all
the house,
of it done is just for one person who we're hoping is listening with his little earbuds.
My guy
in.
P1's lighting me up like, you peas, why don't you just
like,
play the other music? Played it.
Like, there's a reason for
all
of this.
Do you have a list of everybody who was involved again?
I don't have it in
little
front of me.
Little Easter eggs.
God, it was almost everyone.
And so, I mean, by the time I get to work and I don't know if there's anything else that y'all recorded on me, but
there's one other thing, Corby, and I think this is the last thing that happened before the big reveal yesterday. But if you remember yesterday, at one point during the show, early on, before we got to this at 3:50, I said I was looking at my computer, and you weren't here,
oh, yeah.
But you heard me say, "Oh dear."
Yes.
And I said, "Oh dear!" I immediately. Corby goes, "What's going on?" And I go, "Are we in trouble again?" And I go, "No! Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." Immediately, the segment's still going on. I guess Mike's talking. I get a text from Corby that says, "What the f is going on back there?" Just because I simply said, Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
That could have been like a guitarist from Dawkins.
Right!
Falling ill.
Yes!
The three of us are waiting in studio. That's when we're pouncing. Because Kat's worried that you're not going to have a good show. So we had to reveal
I don't think he did. Even why did it doesn't suck yesterday? He didn't say that much.
I wasn't excited.
I'm like, this dude is sad. And we were all effing
happy. I was miserable. Because what have I ever done to you people?
Yeah. Shut up.
By the way, this is the other text that I sent to Cuban the next morning.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
So Cuban's in L.A.
Quickly.
Yeah.
And I go, if you get a second away from shooting Shark Tank, please call me. Damaris is reaching out to Dirk, but this is such a – and this is after the email that Sarah sent when I'm thinking the Mavs are all against me. But this is such a massive, massive misunderstanding. I need your help, man.
I need your help, man.
Man. So
and he's under orders to not reply.
I feel awful, and it was such a throwaway line. It means nothing. It's always my go-to line for a long movie reference.
I keep saying that, bud.
And now this. Help me, man.
I'm sick in my stomach.
All right. Well, I'll drop him a text. I'll let you know if I hear anything.
God.
Yeah. Let me know. Just whatever. Whatever you can do, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And then they let me off the hook yesterday at about 3:50, finally telling me that it was a gag.
That feel pretty good.
So I was there when you hugged Dirk. You did the kind of the man.
Oh yeah, so you
shake,
saw him last night,
and you came in for the and you nuzzled up like a baby to just
I did
a bosom.
I was like, oh, thank you, man, thank you so much. As he's dying laughing,
you still like me?
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. Dudes. Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Bravo.
It worked.
Wonderful.
We got one.
Damn, it was good.
No more pranks ever again for anybody.
Yeah, we're all
that's
we're
it.
All
it's good. Over.
Hey, I'll never get you back.
I will never get you again either.
This is like the mob. It's
promise.
Over.
Yeah.
You're off the mattresses.
Promise. No
it's
more
over
pranks.
Until the next time.
Gotta
good
go.
Stuff, Corby.
All right. Community quick hits coming up here.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is